There's no stupid questions, Aaron. Don't worry about it. All right. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Lighthouse Bible Church. Let's begin as we like to do by entering into prayer together. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. We have recently brought into remembrance his birth, and we also know the reason why he was born, that the Son of God became man so that he could go to the cross and die for our sins, and that you would raise him from the dead 3 days later, and that whoever believes in your Son will not perish but has eternal life. And we thank you so much for the gift of Jesus Christ. We know that your word is his mind and his thinking. We know that you've had put place the Holy Spirit inside of us, and his work is to conform us to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that the word of God is alive and powerful, and that the Holy Spirit uses your word as his sword to cut through and make progress in our spiritual lives. And so we just ask for that to occur tonight. We also, Father, this evening want to pray for the saints. We want to pray for all the saints, and in particular those who are hurting in any way at this time this evening, Father. In particular, the persecuted church around the world, Father, but also those people in the United States, anyone who's going through a difficult time at this time, Father, and particularly members of Lighthouse Bible Church. And we just lift them up, and we know that you're going to provide magnificently for them, and we look forward to what you're going to do. And we ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, by the power of the Spirit. Amen. All right, just a reminder that this Sunday is the first Sunday of the month and the year, but because it's the first Sunday of the month, we'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper together this Sunday. Looking forward to that. And again, by way of reminder, Keithy and Starling will be visiting us on Sunday, January 17th. And I guess that's pretty much all I need to do for announcements on a Wednesday. We are going to have a prayer meeting after service tonight, 15 minutes after service in the Sunday school room. All right, let's begin. Let's begin. You can turn your Bibles, if you wish, to the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5. James 1, 5. The title of the message this evening is, What is Wisdom? What is wisdom? We've been talking about wisdom, and tonight we're going to turn our attention directly to it and learn some things about what the Bible says wisdom is really all about. We're here because we're in James chapter 1, and in verse 5, as we've seen recently, James identifies exactly what it is that we need in order to be able to master the art of daily living. We were in Romans for over a year, and there are those timeless, eternal truths about what Christ did at the cross for us, and how by faith we're justified, and how we stand in the grace of God, and how we are eternally secure. But now we look to James to teach us about our daily living, the practical side of Christianity. And as we've seen also, James and Proverbs are companion books. Proverbs in the Old Testament is a wisdom book that looks at daily living. James in the New Testament serves the same purpose. And so let's read again James 1:5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, and that's all of us in some areas, let him ask of God. What do we do? Ask of God. So simple. I put that into practice, by the way. I like to do that. When I see something in the Bible and I'm teaching it, I feel it's only fair that I should put it into practice. So I'm putting this into practice right now. I'll tell you how it works out. Let him ask of God. Just ask. Who gives to, notice, gives to all generously. That's the God that we have. Why wouldn't we ask a God who gives to all generously? And without reproach, he's not going to give you a hard time about it, and it will be given to him, to you. So again, we've seen that the book of Proverbs is a companion to James. Proverbs in the Old Testament, James in the New, and that Proverbs also talks about wisdom. And we've seen that the book of Proverbs is a how-to book. It's hands-on. It's how to get, okay, here's what you need to accomplish it, here's what you need to learn, here's how you do it. That's basically what it is. It's a very practical how-to book. How to do some of the most important things in life, like how to be a good friend, for example. If you want to learn how to be a good friend, Proverbs is the book for you. If you want to learn how to be a good young person who is headed in the right direction, Proverbs is the book for you. How to. If you want to learn how to deal with violence in this world, as we saw on Sunday, Proverbs is the book for you. And so Proverbs is the how-to book, and that makes it a book of wisdom. But, of course, we know that wisdom, making the right choices in life, is what the book of Proverbs is about. But we need to learn a little bit more and get wise, actually, about wisdom itself, and that's what we're going to do tonight. I don't know if this is a pattern or not, but what we have been seeing recently is that on Wednesdays we get into more of the nuts and bolts teaching, and then on Sundays we deal with a practical issue. Remember, last Sunday we dealt with violence. I promised that this Sunday we're going to do something about sex and marriage. So that's the pattern we're in right now. Tonight we're going to look at learning. What is wisdom all about? Well, as we saw on Sunday, the Hebrew word for wisdom is chokmah, and it means the mastery of the art of living, but with an important aspect to it, namely that it has to be in accordance with God's expectations. You see, there's a lot of ways to master the art of living, and as James is going to tell us, there's two kinds of wisdom. But when we talk about biblical wisdom, chokmah, it is in accordance with God's expectations. And so we learn and we line up with God's expectations, and thereby we master the art of living. As we also saw on Sunday, the same Greek word tells us that wisdom is the knowledge and ability. It's both. It's knowledge, okay, and ability. And that word ability, of course, brings to mind the fact that, well, how do you get ability? The way to get ability is to take knowledge and put it into practice. You actually do it. And over time, you develop a skill or an ability. And that's all of that encompasses wisdom. It's knowledge, but also ability. Learning, instruction, very important, and that comes first. But then an ability, a practical ability that you develop in order to make the right choices at the opportune time. In all of those areas of life where we sometimes feel like we're overmatched, whether it's family, whether it's the job, whether it's the economy or the politics or terrorism or whatever it is, when you feel like you just don't understand it, you just don't get it, you need more wisdom. And that's the knowledge, first of all, but then an ability to make right choices. How do I manage my life? How do I deal with the onslaught of information that I get that I really find overwhelming at times? So it's a knowledge and ability to make the right choices, and also at the opportune time. Timing is really important, as we will see. Now, in the Bible, in the book of Proverbs, there's one chapter where wisdom actually steps to the front and is personified. Wisdom speaks in the form of a person. I'd like you to see a little bit of that tonight. If you would, please turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 8, starting in verse 22. Proverbs chapter 8, starting in verse 22. So wisdom, mastering the art of daily living in accordance with God's expectations. It's the knowledge, but also the ability to make right choices at the opportune time. And we're going to see in Proverbs chapter 8 right now that wisdom is personified, and she speaks to us. It's very interesting that she's a she. Interesting. Well, wisdom in the book of Proverbs is a she. I'm not sure what that all means, but I'm just going to let you know that. And now we're going to see on Sunday there's three she's in the book of Proverbs that you have to think about, if you're a man especially. There's wisdom herself, and then there's the adulterous woman, and then there's the virtuous woman. So those are the three she's for us men, particularly young men, in the book of Proverbs. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. The Lord, wisdom is speaking. She's stepping to the front and she's speaking herself. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. See, wisdom is ancient. How ancient? From everlasting, wisdom was established. From the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths, wisdom was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, wisdom was brought forth. While he, the Lord, had not yet made the earth and the fields. So in other words, before Genesis 1:1, if I could put it that way. Now, though the first dust of the world, when he established the heavens, wisdom was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he, the Lord, set for the sea its boundary, so that the water would not transgress his command, when he, the Lord, marked out the foundations of the earth, then wisdom was beside him as a master workman, and wisdom was daily his delight. And I put verse 30 on the slide this evening to remind us about something about wisdom that we learn in verse 30. A couple of amazing things. First of all, when the Lord created this universe, wisdom was beside him as a master work. What a beautiful picture of how ancient and how fundamental wisdom is to this very universe. The Lord used wisdom to construct this universe. And wisdom was daily the delight of the Lord. Before you and I were around, wisdom was his delight. It's a wonderful thing to think about. Why? Because that same wisdom is available to us. That's the thing to remember. Same wisdom that the Lord used to create this universe is available to us. and particularly to us as Christians, as we'll see, but even to the saints of the Old Testament in the book of Proverbs. All right, so again, verse 30, then I was beside him, wisdom, a master workman. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world, his earth, and having my delight, wisdom delighted, it delighted in the sons of men. Now therefore, O sons, now that you know who I am and how long I've been around, wisdom says, listen to me. I was there when the Lord created the universe. Listen to me. For blessed are they who keep my ways. If you want to see blessing come to fruition in your life, keep the ways of wisdom, in other words. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, wisdom. Notice this next one. Watching daily at my gates. You see how wisdom is daily living and meant to be that? The book of Proverbs is daily living and meant to be used on a daily basis. We'll see more of that. Waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me, wisdom, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself, and all those who hate me love death. All right, so what do we learn about wisdom when wisdom steps forward in chapter 8 of Proverbs and is personified? Well, first of all, we learn that wisdom is master craftsmanship. And I like that word. It reminds me of a great carpenter or somebody who can just create wonderful things using basic elements. That's wisdom. Wisdom is taking the daily life and making something of it. It's every day we get to be better and better craftspeople when it comes to mastering the art of daily living. Wisdom is master craftsmanship, and there is skill associated with it. Wisdom is a master workman. And now we know that wisdom was on the scene when the Lord did his work of creating the universe. And as a matter of fact, wisdom is on the scene whenever there are good works to be accomplished. And to bring that point home to us, church-age believers, please turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Wisdom is on the scene. When do we see wisdom in the spiritual life? It's simple. Whenever there are good works that need to be accomplished, wisdom will be on the scene, or needs to be on the scene. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. One of the great things about studying the Bible, preaching the Bible, learning the Bible, is when we can marry different books of the Bible together. Like we've been doing some of that with Romans and James. Well, tonight we're going to do some of that with Proverbs and some of the New Testament epistles and see how wonderfully they're put together. And if I get that far, I'm going to really make that concrete for you, how that works, how what we know is unique to us as Christians, church-age believers, how we marry a book as ancient as Proverbs and plug it right into who we are in Christ. And it plugs in fantastically. I hope we get that far. If we don't, well, we'll lead off on Sunday. We'll get to the sex part, but we'll lead off with some more wisdom. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we now are his workmanship. Don't you love it? Back when wisdom first came on the scene with the Lord, the universe was his workmanship. He was busy creating the universe. He's done with that, but today he's still at work. He still has a workshop. But the thing about it is you and I are his workmanship. The great project that the Lord has now is the church, the body of Christ. And the great project, of course, is based on the blueprint of the person of Christ, and we're being conformed to him individually, but more mysteriously and wonderfully as a whole body. Amazing, right? Christ the head, us the body, the Lord at work in his workshop, crafting this incredible new man. I don't know how it gets any more wonderful than that. But that's what we're involved in, at being Christians, you know. We are God's workmanship now. We were created in Christ for what? What are the next three words? For what? Good works. See, whenever wisdom is on the scene, it's for the purpose of good works. And the way that we, as it were, participate in the workshop is in the good works. Notice which ones, though, right? Which ones? The ones that God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. It's wonderful to realize that he prepared it all, and we just, as it were, step into it and walk in it. He's created everything needed in order for those works to be successful. All we got to do is put one foot in front of the other. Keep saying, you know, yes, one more day, Lord, what do you got? Remember in Romans 6, what do we have to do now? Just present ourselves as alive from the dead. Hey, what good work do you have for me today, Lord? We don't have to create it. Who created it? God did. Right, we just have to walk in it. Isn't that nice? Isn't that great? I can remember when I was, this is a dumb thing, but it happened to me. I remember when I was a little kid, first time I went to a play, I didn't realize that there was a playwright. And I thought that everybody on stage was actually coming up with all the lines as they were saying them. And my father said, you know, someday that could be you. I'm like, no way. I could never do that. Well, the day I found out that there was a script, I'm like, oh, I can do that. If it's already been written, all I got to do is speak the words that somebody else wants me to speak, I think I can master that. And that's the same thing, you see, with our spiritual life. We don't have to create it from scratch. We just have to walk in the things that the Lord has prepared for us uniquely. So that's his project now, and that's when we need wisdom. You know, we need wisdom when we're involved in the good works that God has prepared beforehand for us so that we would walk in them. So again, once the universe was God's handiwork, but now we are. So wisdom is a mastery of the best ways of doing things to achieve the desired result. The French actually have a very elegant expression for something similar. It's called savoir-faire. Have you ever heard of that? Know-how. That's wisdom. You see, God is very interested in giving us know-how. So that we, look, in the book of Romans, it says that we ought to reign in life. That's God's desire for us. And in order for us to reign in life in this crazy world, we're going to need a lot of that. We're going to need a lot of wisdom and a lot of know-how. How do I handle that situation when I come across it? That's wisdom, the best way of doing things to achieve the desired result. It's a way of doing things. It's the right use of your knowledge. You see, you know how this goes. You can have a lot of knowledge, but you don't know how to use it. And wisdom puts together that. Okay, here's the knowledge that you have. Here's how you use it, right? Because why? Wisdom shows up when there's good works to be done. Here's how you use what you've learned. Here's how you use what you've learned in the Bible. You learn that you're a new creature in Christ. You learn that you walk by faith. Well, how do you use that? You learn that it's by the Spirit, not by the flesh. But how do you use that? How does that work on a daily basis? That requires wisdom. Wisdom that we can go to God and ask for. Wisdom that's in the book of Proverbs. Wisdom that's in the book of James. It's the right use of your knowledge to the best ends possible. It's skill. Love that word. Knowing how to accomplish the absolute best from whatever presents itself. You ever get that sense where you're in a situation, you know, something good could come out of this, but I don't know what the heck to do. And something really bad could come out of this too. And it sort of feels like if I make the wrong choice, it could go one direction. If I make the right choice, it could go another direction. You know? So there's a potential, but you don't want to blow it. Well, wisdom helps you not blow it. Wisdom helps you to do the right thing. Use the right approach to using your knowledge to its best ends. Using what you have, whatever it is, to accomplish the absolute best thing you can accomplish with it. So wisdom, the good kind anyway, and that's a little seed, the good kind. If I said there's a good kind, what does that mean? There's a bad kind, so we'll get to that. But the wisdom, the good kind anyway, is knowing the right thing to do and then doing it. See, a lot of people know the right thing to do, but they don't do it. And they don't have wisdom. If you don't do it, you don't have wisdom. You may have knowledge. You know the right thing to do. But if you don't do it, you don't have wisdom, because wisdom is that connective tissue between knowing and it producing something. You see? That wisdom is what you need to have in order to actually do it. So I know I'm saying the same thing different ways. You know I do that when it's what? Important. Right? It's how to make the right choices and take the right actions in our daily lives. That's wisdom. And God wants you to have it. And God wants you to ask him for it. And he'll give them to you, like he did with Solomon. When Solomon looked out over that huge kingdom that he as a young man looked at and said, whoa, I don't know what to do. And he said, Lord, I need wisdom in order to rule these people of yours. You know, like I said, I feel the same way. Only the people I have rule are two. You know, my children. Lord, I need wisdom to know how to rule these two kids of mine. They're great kids. No reflection on them. Reflection on me, right? And my ignorance. But that's what I'm talking about. Wisdom is the ability to make the right actions, and we can ask God for it. And Proverbs is the how-to book. All right, speaking of Proverbs, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. Proverbs 1:1. We were here on Sunday, but today we're going to stop and slow down a little bit and take note of all the different things at the very beginning of the know-how book, the how-to book, Proverbs, the wisdom book, the very beginning, what it tells us about wisdom itself. Proverbs 1:1-7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. To know wisdom. Yeah, that's what we want to do. That's the question in tonight's message, right? What is wisdom? To know wisdom. And what? Instruction. And to discern the sayings of understanding. And to receive instruction in wise behavior. Those are three different things. You can see that? There's instruction, there's understanding, and there's wise behavior. And they're in that order, right? And we'll see a little bit more about that, but that makes sense. If I think I'm going to do wise behavior, but I skip instruction, behavior isn't going to be very good. If I've never thrown a football before, and I'm going to get out there on the field and throw one, but I skip the part where somebody teaches me how to throw a football, I'm not going to throw it very well. All right. So you have to have the instruction, and then the understanding. It's one thing for somebody to get up there and instruct me, but it's another thing for me to have absorbed it, and it's a part of who I am now. You see, I need that step two. And then step three is the behavior itself. So that's in the right order. Of course, God's good about that. He knows the right order. So instruction, understanding, and wise behavior. Notice this, but also righteousness, justice, and equity. Okay, so that in verses 2 and 3, really, we get great information about wisdom itself. We're going to come back to that. Then in verses 4 and 5 and 6 and the part of 7, we're going to see people. Well, pay attention now, because you're going to find yourself in one of these people. There's three people that are mentioned here. One of them's you, and you got to figure out which. But here we go. Verse 4, to give prudence to the naive. That's one kind of person. What's that? Youth. To the youth, knowledge and discretion. You see, to young people are just naive. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is they don't know anything. They think they do, but they don't. And so what they really need is instruction. They don't need to be clobbered for something they don't know yet. They need to be taught what they don't know. So that's the first thing. There are naive people, young people. What do they need? They need instruction. They need knowledge. They need discretion. They need to listen, and they need to increase in learning. And then we have verse 5. A wise man, that's another kind of person. All right, a wise man used to be a naive youth, but learned and gained the knowledge. All right, what does he do? He keeps hearing, and he increases in learning. What does that tell you? This is a lifelong thing, this wisdom thing, right? A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. That's the same person, by the way. All right? A wise man is a man of understanding. To understand a proverb and a figure, and the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And then after that, what do we see? The third kind of person. You know who it is? The fool! Yeah, the fools despise wisdom and instruction. So there's three kinds of people here. We'll talk about them in a minute. There's the naive young person, there's the wise person of understanding, and the fool. And you're one of them. And I'm not going to get into that, but you're going to have to sort that out for yourself. All right. So notice again that wisdom begins with instruction. Remember we talked a little while ago about if we go to the world to find wisdom, we're in trouble. And I don't know if you remember, but I talked a little bit about one of the great, so-called great philosophers of the ancient Greek world. And one of them taught that we're born with wisdom. Well, yeah, that's probably appropriate. We are not born with wisdom. We're born foolish. All right? We need instruction. That's the first thing we need. We need to be taught how to be wise. We need to be taught when we're a young person and we're first getting the desires that come in our bodies when we reach puberty. We need to be taught how to handle that. We're not born with that. When we're trying to sort out who's a true friend and who isn't, we need instruction. We're not born with that. Because a lot of people make bad decisions because they've never listened to instruction about that kind of thing. They think they know it all, and they make terrible, terrible mistakes. So the first thing we need is instruction. And that's the first thing that's brought up in verse 2. But notice also that once we have instruction, then wisdom resides somewhere. We've got the information. It resides in understanding. Now it's a part of me. I'm not just taking information anymore. I understand it. I understand how to use that. I've read in Proverbs chapter 1 about the course of the violent man. I got the instruction. Now I understand it. I understand what it means. I understand that that applies to these people, and it would apply to me if I made those choices, but if I don't make those choices, then the other part applies to me, which is that the Lord's going to take care of me. I have no fear. And that's part of me now. I've changed because I've learned. I was humble and listened to what the Bible had to say, and I digested it, and it's become a part of me, and now I have an understanding about things that I didn't have before. All right, so wisdom begins with instruction. It resides in understanding. And then the third thing is, it leads to wise behavior, as we see in verse 3, wise behavior. And that's the picture of wisdom. It begins with learning, information, all right, instruction. And then it proceeds to me understanding what I've learned. And then that should lead, if it's real wisdom, it will lead to wise behavior. I'm going to say it again. Instruction, understanding, behavior. In that order. All right? This isn't magic. A lot of people think the Christian way of life is magic. Just throw a dust of the holy water on your head and genuflect five times and boom, you're all set for the day. No, that's not how it works. Right? There's a big book of God's thinking here. That's between you and wise behavior, right? So you need to learn it. It needs to be a part of you, understand it, and then that leads to wise behavior. And then notice in verse 3 one other thing, which is it's instruction in righteousness. Now, we saw righteousness when we were Romans. We know that that was being right with God. God's perfection, perfect standard. Well, but yet in our daily life, we get what? Instructed in righteousness. Isn't that interesting? We're declared righteous by God. That's justification. But this thing of righteousness is so all-encompassing of our lives that not only is it important when we're being justified, made right with God in a legal setting and understanding that my sins and iniquities he remembers no more, but then I turn around as a born-again, saved individual with the Holy Spirit indwelling, and I go out there in everyday life, and now I'm trained in righteousness. And it's a wonderful thing. Both things are wonderful. It's wonderful that God sees me as that. But it's also wonderful that I get trained in it so that in my practical daily living, the way I live lines up with who God has declared me to be. And I need wisdom in order to live that way. And so we get instructed in righteousness as well as justice and equity. I want you to just let that hit for a second. And as you're letting it hit, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Wow. In Romans, I learned that I was declared righteous. But in James and Proverbs, I learned that I need to be instructed in righteousness. So this goes on to part of my daily life. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Talking about marrying, right? Marrying Proverbs into the mystery teachings of the New Testament. Marrying Proverbs into the epistles, which are uniquely for the church. That's what we're going to do. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Wisdom is instruction in righteousness. And after all, that's exactly what Paul told Timothy. Look. All scripture, including Proverbs, including Psalms, including Genesis, including James, is inspired by God himself and is profitable for what? Teaching, reproof, and correction. And what does it say after that? For training in righteousness. Wow, so Paul agrees with Solomon. Isn't that cool? Yeah, we need to be trained in righteousness. Training in righteousness using the word of God. And notice why. So that the man of God or the woman of God might be adequate, useful, or as James would say, complete and perfect, however you want to say that, right? Complete, not no big holes in that. Why? Equipped for what? Every good work. Hey, we're right back to that. I guess there are works that he wants us to walk in. And I guess wisdom has a lot to do with it. And that includes being trained in righteousness. You see, I'm declared right. By the moment I believe in Jesus Christ, as far as my relationship with God is concerned, I'm righteous. Amazing. That's by the blood of Christ, his work. His work. But then after salvation, when I step into my daily life, then I get the privilege of being trained in righteousness. And then that shows up in the works that he's ordained for me to do. And as we've seen in other passages, that's when other people see it. Wait a minute, you know what? There is a God, and there is love, and there is righteousness, and I'm seeing in front of my eyes is how people live, in addition to what the book says. All right, so we need to be trained in righteousness for the good works that he's prepared for us, to be equipped for that. So wisdom, actually, when we get to this righteousness, it means that God's essence is in view. I mean, righteousness can only come from God. That's the only place it comes from. And so if we're being trained in righteousness, we're being trained in something godly, and that means that wisdom, the good kind, is God's essence in action. Yeah, it changes it when I think about it that way. It really is God's essence in action through us. Isn't that something? I mean, it changes it for me. It changes everything. Now, that's only possible for us because we know we're in union with Christ, right? And we know that we get everything from him. If it wasn't for that, you know, this couldn't happen. But we are in union with Christ. He's our righteousness. He's our wisdom. And it can actually work. God's essence can actually work through us. Now, not all of it. We're not going to be omnipotent and be able to, you know, be all powerful. That's not going to happen. We'll have some power, right? We're not going to be all knowing, but we're going to have some knowledge. But how about love? Oh, yeah. God wants to work his love through us. We've seen that in many passages. That's the big command that the Lord left with the disciples, right? Love one another as I have loved you. The Son of God, deity. I loved you, now you love one another. Essence of God can work through you. Righteousness is another one. You can have deeds of righteousness where the righteousness of God, his standard, is showing up in how you live through the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't feel bad in the rain. I'm telling you, I feel like doing that right now myself. I got this cold that's going around. Maybe we can have just 1 minute where everybody needs to cough can cough. What do you think? Ready? I really needed to do that. I wasn't kidding, you know. Yeah, there you go. That's good. Yeah, we got to get that out of our system. I don't know. I thought I was done with that when I moved to Florida, but no way. So, all scripture is designed by God for training in righteousness. And wisdom, the good kind, is God's essence in action through us. And righteousness in action, love at work. Well, we talked about this already, but notice in Proverbs. Go back to Proverbs 1 with me now as we have a few more minutes here together tonight. Proverbs chapter 1 again, starting in verse 1. And I mentioned this already, but there are three kinds of people. Remember that? Three kinds of people introduced here in Proverbs 1. Yeah, the naive youth. I love that. So Proverbs 1, we go back there, we can see them again. In verse 4, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. You know, we need humility throughout our life, but it starts when we're young. And if there's one thing, young people, that I want to ask you to get some heart searching about, it is that to really come to terms with the fact that to be successful in life, you've got to have humility. You've got to wake up every day and say, I don't know everything. I've got to go somewhere where I can learn something about God's wisdom. I know he's the source, and I need to go to him because I don't have it. I know what happens when I'm untethered, and I don't want that. I want to be tethered to God's wisdom and everything else. So that's really important for everybody, but beginning in as young people. Three kinds of people introduced here in Proverbs 1, and I have all three of them up there. The naive youth, the wise man of understanding, and the fool, which I have down there at the bottom. See, the thing about it is that God, first of all, his desires for us are wonderful. When we're not believers yet, his desire is what? That we be saved. You know, the Bible says his desire is for all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Everybody, that's God's desire, right? Well, also, God's desire is that, and plan is that we're born naive youths, young in the faith, if you want to think of it that way, young naturally. But his plan is for us to become wise people of understanding. You know, as the Psalm, I think it's Psalm 91 says, you know, basically count your days or make every day count so that you can present back to God a wise heart of understanding. That's what he wants to have happen in our lives. And so that's one path. You know, you stand here, you come onto this thing, you're a naive youth. We all started as naive youths, so there's nothing wrong with that. That's just that way it goes. When you haven't learned yet, you're a naive youth, right? And then you take a path. One path leads to becoming a wise man of understanding. The other path leads to staying a fool. And it looks uglier and uglier the older you get. Being a fool. I don't know if you ever met a real fool in the 60s or 70s. It's really pathetic. It's really like heart-rending to see that. You know, so that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to take the path where you become number two, a wise man or woman of understanding. And notice that the wise person is one who understands that wisdom is a lifelong thing. It's a lifelong commitment to learning. You don't get your degree in wisdom and then go out in the world and then forget about it. It's a lifelong commitment to learning, a lifelong commitment to understanding, and a lifelong commitment to wise behavior. You want to know why it has to be that way? Because if for no other reason, you see, when we're living our lives, we need wisdom when we come upon something unique and new that we don't know how to handle. And you're going to keep coming upon those things. Maybe now you're a teenager, and the things that are really hard and challenging for you are of a certain set, you know, like schoolwork or peer pressure or whatever those things might be. Or maybe you're dealing with an illness or a handicap or something. Your parents got divorced and your life is falling apart. And you don't know how to handle it, and you need wisdom as a teenager to handle that set of things. But you know what's going to happen? You're not always going to be a teenager. Someday you're going to wake up and you're going to be 25. And you're going to find out that that stage of life has its own set of challenges. And you're going to find out that you're going to be renewed, need to be renewed again in new kinds of wisdom, you know. Wow, I'm really serious about this person. I think I might want to marry this person. Whoa, time out. Make sure you turn to the source of wisdom of the Lord and be wise in making that decision. And then, you know, first comes love, then comes marriage, then what? Then comes the baby in the baby carriage. Then you're going to have children. And when you have children, believe me, that comes with its whole new set of problems and challenges. And you're going to need new sources, new springs of wisdom in that heart of yours to deal with that. And I don't know what's going to happen in our country next year. I know like what's happened in the last 30 years has introduced in my life a whole new set of problems and challenges that I had no idea about 30 years ago that are now realities in my country and in my life. And what do I need? I need more wisdom. That's why I chuckled a little bit when James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, it's like, of course we do. We're dealing with a life that's multifaceted and changing, and the problems are new, and I got to grow with the problems. So we're always going to need it, learning and understanding. But isn't it great that we know this now? We know, wait a minute, I don't know what life's going to bring me, but I know that I have this as a constant, that I can always go to my Bible, I can always go to Proverbs, I can always go directly to the Lord and ask Him for more. And I can learn what I need to know. It's all in the Word of God. I can then have a new understanding in my heart, and then I can step out there and behave in a wise manner, make the right decisions and take the right actions that are going to be up to snuff in terms of the outcomes that me and, more importantly, God is looking for in my life. 1, 2, 3. You know how fond I am of 1, 2, 3, right? Learn, understand, and behave wisely. That's what this first section of Proverbs teaches us. And what's the beginning of it all? What's the root of wisdom? So important, by the way. Fear of the Lord. A lot of people don't like that word fear. Well, I like that word fear in this sense. You know, there's got to be the ultimate in your life. There's got to be the one compromising part of your life. There's got to be one thing of your life where you're like, the buck stops there. That's fear of the Lord. In other words, I don't want to put it this way, but I guess I have. There's one person I don't want to ever mess with, if you want to put it that way. The Lord, you know? Now, He's so kind and gracious that we can have it out with Him and have all kinds of real honest conversation with Him, you know? But at the same time, there's that awe. There's that reverence. There's that, wait a minute, this is the Creator of the universe. Wait a minute. He loved me so much that He sent His only Son to die for me. I don't know anybody else that would do that. That's a sense of awe. Or if you wish, fear, in a good sense. Like, you know what? I am just totally blown away by who You are. You know, that kind of a fear. You know, if you look at in the Bible at fear, a lot of times it was something so magnificent that the people were like, whoa, I don't know how to handle this. You know, like when the angels came down with the shepherds, you know, they were afraid. Why? Because it was so awesome, it was too much. So in that sense, to have that humility before the Lord, you know, to just, whether you do that with your body or do it with your heart, you just kind of lay down in front of Him and prostrate and say, you're everything. You're awesome. You know, that we need that. That's where it starts. Because that's humility. To say, you know what? God's God and I'm not. And He's amazing and all powerful. And if He wanted to, He'd go like that and I would exist no more. You know, that kind of respect and awe about God. That's where it all starts. Because if you have that, then you realize that whenever you're not up to this task, you go to Him. You know, that's the flip side. You know about this. When there's a person in your life that you're a little afraid of, it's usually because they have a presence and a strength. And there's no messing around on certain things with that person. You're afraid of them in that sense. But you also know that you go to that same person, and then that same strength goes to work for you. You can trust that person. They're reliable. They're going to back up what they say with everything that they have. And that's also true of our Lord. And so that this is the person we go to ask for the wisdom that we need. Because the source of all real wisdom, the good kind, is God. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. There it is again. Receive the words, that's learning, but then treasure within you. That's that understanding. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. What? Did somebody wise just speak? What? What did the Word of God have to say about my problem? You know what I'm talking about? Our ears are attentive to so many things and our eyes so many things these days, but we really need to recognize the channel of God's wisdom and always be ready to hear what it has to say. Incline your heart to understanding. Now, I've heard it. Now I'm going to be humble inside and let my heart change for what I heard from God. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Notice verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom. See, James didn't make that up. He got it from the book of Proverbs, maybe. See, all the way back in Solomon's time, he knew that if you want wisdom, you go to the Lord. That's the source. The Lord gives wisdom. He gives it away freely, by the way. You know, we have these things in our head, and I don't know where they come from there, where if God's going to give us anything valuable in life, we've got to go through this whole procedure, and we've got to work for it, and we've got to meet all the requirements, and then he's going to give it. I don't find that in my Bible. I find that my God is a gracious giver, and he just says, here it is. Whether it's salvation, when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he made you alive, or whether it's wisdom, just ask. Or whether it's Jesus saying, ask and you shall receive. When he said that, he didn't put a whole laundry list in the middle. He didn't say, ask and you shall receive, but. No, he just said, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will be open. It's that simple. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And as we've seen, the Lord gives wisdom graciously. Well, I think that, you know, that's a pretty good place to stop. Although, boy, I didn't get anywhere near where I wanted to get to tonight. But that's okay. You know, if the rapture comes, we'll be learning directly from the Lord. If not, we'll be getting together again on Sunday. Either way, right? Because I want to end on a high note, and unfortunately, the next thing is not such a high note. It's the wisdom of the world, and we'll tackle that on Sunday. But if you want a preview, you can read James chapter 3, and you can see what that's all about. All right, so don't be fools. Keep on stepping on that right path. It's real simple. Just humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and go to the Word of God, get the wisdom that you need, make it a part of who you are, and then use it, and be wise in how you behave. All right, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much tonight for your word that's alive and powerful. We thank you, Father, for showing us in your book the simple, how-to, practical things that we need to master in the everyday life and master in the art of everyday life according to your standards and according to your way of seeing things, Father. And again, we want to thank you for Jesus Christ. We know that as we go to any of these books of the Old Testament that were written under the law, we go there as born-again Christians who have died with Christ and been risen with him. And we know that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changed everything in terms of our relationship to you. And so we go there as people of the resurrection, and we live in these books with the understanding of who you've made us to be as your children. And it's such a wonderful thing. And help us to continue, Father, to be marrying together what we've learned so that we really do become more masterful and skillful in the art of daily living according to your word. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Happy New Year. We'll be praying in 15 minutes if you want to join us at that time.